if you will, to Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to be reading Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 in just a moment. The series is Against the Current. Tonight's message is Bold as a Lion, Bold as a Lion. How many of you know that the lion is called the king of the jungle? Amen? He's called the king of the jungle. And that's because the lion is the apex hunter, the top of the food chain. And the lion has a powerful roar that can be heard for miles away and strikes fear in the hearts of humans and beasts alike. The lion is an animal to be reckoned with. Lions are so bold that they will attack virtually any creature, regardless of its size or threat. It can attack creatures that are many times its size. They'll go after elephants, buffaloes, and even crocodiles. One writer states, bravery is a key trait of the lion. The lion will never surrender or retreat from any attack or threat. He says the lion will never lie down and die, not even if surrounded by 10 hyenas, a fierce enemy of the lion. The fight is never over until it's over. He's going to fight to the death. For this reason, the lion has long been used as a symbol of courage and boldness. In fact, the wisdom writer in Proverbs 30:30 describes lions as mighty among beasts who retreat before nothing. And you know, when a zoologist describes them that way, the Bible actually describes them that way as well. And God has called us to be bold like a lion. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. God is calling us to live fearlessly, boldly, and courageously for Him in a world that is hostile towards Christianity. And one person in Scripture who shows us what it means to live bold as a lion is Daniel. Read with me, if you will, Daniel chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 12. The Scripture says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about this royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? Verse 16 says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. And what we see is, you know, Daniel remained devoted to God, and he would not back down or give in to the fear or pressure of his adversaries. He boldly continued to pray as he had always done. So he was arrested and thrown into the lion's den. He spent the entire night in the lion's den. And let me tell you something, to stand face to face with lions, you have to be as bold as a lion. And Daniel certainly was. And it is that boldness that enabled Daniel to serve God faithfully in an anti-God culture and be an influence for God in a nation that represented everything that is opposed to God. We need that boldness today as we live in an America that is increasingly anti-God and openly hostile towards Christianity, even passing laws that restrict our beliefs and the practice of our faith under threat of criminal penalty. God is calling us to live as bold as lions because, like it or not, we are living among lions. David, when being pursued by the ungodly King Saul and his army, said in Psalm 57:4, I am so surrounded by fierce lions. He was describing his enemies as fierce lions. I'm surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. And so, you know, that comparison of those that are opposed to God's people, our enemies as lions, depicts the fact that we too are surrounded by lions. First and foremost, the Bible says that our enemy, the devil, prowls about like what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we know that Satan is the ruler ruler of this present world, the force of darkness that is behind the ungodliness of this world system, its governments, and people. And because Satan is the arch enemy of God and God's purpose, he is at work behind the fierce anti-God sentiment that prevails in our culture. And for that reason, we are daily living among lions, among unsaved people who are under the dominion of darkness, who are opposed to God, who hate Christianity, and who are diligently working to intimidate and pressure Christians to compromise and to conform. Like the men that tried to entrap and stop Daniel from serving God by manipulating the king to pass laws to restrict prayer under penalty of being thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel's life and example show us how to be bold as lions. And the first thing he shows us is that we need to pray through the opposition. We need to pray through the opposition. We need to pray because we are engaged in spiritual battle. And the story of Daniel in the lion's den is a great story of faithfulness and commitment to God and God's deliverance. But it is also a reminder that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. In fact, we see that theme of being in a spiritual battle throughout the book of Daniel. For instance, in Daniel chapter 10, we see Daniel again engaged in prayer on behalf of the Jews and the fulfillment of God's restoration, which he had promised that would take place after 70 years. And in that chapter, God kind of pulls back the curtain that separates the natural and the spiritual realms and reveals a battle taking place in the spiritual dimension. There was a battle taking place in the angelic realm as the forces of darkness were fighting to stop God's answer from coming through. And the angel said to Daniel, God heard you from the very first time you prayed. But there was a spiritual resistance. The demonic was resisting, and Michael, another archangel, had to come and fight. Of course, Satan is referred to as the prince of Persia in that particular passage, or the ruling power behind the kingdom of Persia. And we know that Satan, or the kingdom of darkness, is behind the ungodly governments of the world. And so it is a reference to Satan and how the archangel Michael had to come and fight with the king of Persia in order to release Gabriel to come and bring the message to Daniel. But Gabriel came after 21 days of fasting and prayer, and he said, God heard you the first day. And God answered from the first day. But the prince of Persia, the satanic ruling being, was preventing the answer from coming through. And here in Daniel 6, Daniel prays to God, not just because it's his custom or habit, but he prayed when he knew that a law had been passed making it illegal to pray, because he understood that it was a spiritual battle, and the only way that he was going to overcome was through prayer. The only way to stand and withstand the attack of the enemy is to pray. And I don't know exactly what Daniel prayed. Maybe he prayed in line with the words of the prophet Isaiah and said, you know, God, you have said in your word that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper, and that every tongue that rises in judgment you will condemn. And so, Lord, I am believing you to cancel the weapons of the enemy's warfare and to silence the tongues of my accusers. I'm not sure exactly what Daniel prayed, but it could be something along those lines. But Daniel's victory in the lion's den was won not when he was in the lion's den. It was won when he was at home on his knees before God. That's when the battle was fought, and that's when the victory was done. Daniel understood that his battle was not with these political officials. His battle was not against the laws restricting the practice of prayer or faith. He understood that his battle was against the forces of darkness. And that is just as true today. There are laws that have been passed. One is called the Equality Act, making it that specifically targets Christianity, it specifically targets Christians and limits the practice of our Christian faith. It was passed just a year ago. But our battle is not against politicians, because they are unsaved, and the Bible tells us they are under the dominion of darkness. But the work of Satan is blatantly obvious in the militant anti-Christian hostility that is evident in politics, media, business, and education. And we've got to pray now more than ever before. We know that God's people ought always to pray, but it is all the more essential now as we see the rise of this anti-God hostility towards Christianity, because we are living in the last days, and the Bible says these are perilous times. And the only way that we will be able to stand and withstand the attack of the enemy and the pressure of this ungodly society is through the power of God's might. The only way that we can continue to advance the purposes of God's kingdom in these dark days is to wage war in the spirit through prayer. And we also need to pray for boldness, to pray for boldness. In Acts 4, you might remember the story. It was after the healing of the lame man and many people came to Christ. Peter and John were arrested and threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus again. And of course, they were beaten. But immediately after their release, what did they do? They went back to the church and they held a prayer meeting and they told them what had happened. And in Acts 4:24, it says, when they heard the report, when they heard what had happened, all the believers lifted up their voices together in prayer to God and they prayed, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord means God, you're in control. So they're saying, Lord, you are in control of all things. And then we skip down to verses 29 and 30, and they say, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I want you to notice something about their prayer. They didn't pray, Lord, take away their threats. They didn't pray, Lord, keep them from arresting us, prevent them from persecuting us. No, they prayed, Lord, give us boldness to preach your word. To preach your word even in the face of persecution. To preach your word even in the face of threat. Give us boldness. And folks, we need boldness now more than ever before. It just breaks my heart to see the number of pastors and Christian leaders that are backpedaling of biblical truth as they cave into the cultural pressure to be politically correct on certain issues. As believers, we need to pray, God, give me boldness so that I won't back down, so that I won't give in, and so that I won't stay silent. We need supernatural boldness to stand for truth in the face of opposition. We need boldness to stand in righteousness when the music of the world is playing to pressure us to bow down to the image that they have created. Like when Nebuchadnezzar played the music and said, everybody must bow down when they hear the music to the golden image that I have erected. The world has erected its own image of what life should be. And they're telling us, you need to bow down. Hear us singing to you this story and bow down, bow down. We need supernatural boldness to keep living right and doing right in a world that calls right wrong and wrong right. We need boldness to endure persecution. We need boldness to keep serving God and speaking for Him when the world is trying to stop us, when the world is trying to silence us. That's why we need to pray, because human boldness is not sufficient. We need the supernatural boldness of the Holy Spirit to stand firm, to stand strong in our faith, so that we will not cave in to the pressure. So the first thing we need to do, and Daniel teaches this, is that we need to pray our way through the opposition. Secondly, he teaches us we need to live without regard for the threat or pressure. Live without regard for the threat or pressure. What does that mean? It means we must obey God above man. Daniel prayed, the scripture says, after he knew that this law had been signed. It says he prayed as he had always done. Prayer was made illegal. But Daniel kept praying. So what does that teach us? When the law of man conflicts with the law of God, what do? We must obey God. When the law of man conflicts with the law of God, we must obey God. And this was the response of Peter and John as well when they were arrested and threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus again. In Acts 4, 19 and 20, Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling everything we have seen and heard." So they said, you know what? You tell us whether it's right to obey God or men. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? And of course, it's a rhetorical question because the answer is no, God wants us to obey him. So the Bible tells us to honor those in authority over us, right? That's what Romans 13 tells us. Honor those that are in authority over us. And a part of that is keeping the laws of the land. But when those laws call us to violate God's law, then we have an obligation to a higher law. We must obey God rather than man. And Daniel understood this, and so he continued to pray even after it became illegal to pray. Folks, it's going to get real, real soon. As one writer said, the problem with the laws that are being passed in Washington is that it criminalizes the truth. It criminalizes the truth. He goes on to say it takes those truths about marriage, about gender, about sex, about family, things like that, things which Christians hold dear as a part of creation itself, and it says those ideas, the expression of them, the living out of them, can become criminal acts. All it requires is for someone to say that they were harmed by those views, and it is not hard to imagine in today's culture that this would happen, that someone would rise up and say, "You preached X, Y, and Z, and it harmed me in some way. It harmed me emotionally. It harmed me mentally." Something as simple and as innocent as telling someone in one of these protected groups under the Equality Act, if you say to them, "Change is possible," or if you even pray for them to get saved or for God to set them free, that can be a criminal act under this new law, punishable by heavy fines and even jail if that individual or someone else observing you complains that you are causing emotional or mental harm by telling someone in one of those protected groups to change. So what are we to do? Are we to stop ministering to people? Are we to change our views on these lifestyles? Are we to stop speaking and practicing the truth of God's word? No. We must obey God rather than men. And if I'm not going to preach that God can change you, whatever your lifestyle is, if I'm not going to preach that God can save you, then I might as well not preach. Because what good is a gospel that does not transform your life? God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. He's not going to leave us in our sin. Amen? He saves us from our sin. He doesn't save us in our sin. He wants to bring transformation into our lives to make us holy and righteous. So we've got to continue to obey God above man, no matter what laws may be enacted. And we must live as if the law was never enacted. That's what Daniel did. When he heard that the law had been put in place, making prayer illegal, he went home and prayed anyway, as he had always done. Now, it's not like he went to pray to provoke a confrontation. We shouldn't go around trying to provoke a confrontation. But he was living as he had always done. He was not going to let the law stop him from living for God and doing God's will. I think it's interesting that the law made it illegal to pray to anyone except the king. So in effect, the government became God. And let me tell you something, government is a poor substitute for God. But when government wants to tell you how to think and what to believe and how to live, it's taking the place of God. And a God that cannot help you, and a God that cannot save you. So we've got to be very careful in allowing government to dictate to us how we should think, what we should believe, and how we should live. But our job is that regardless of what laws the government passes to try to restrict the practice of our faith, we must keep living for God. We must keep standing for truth. We must keep standing for righteousness. We must keep speaking His truth. We must continue ministering to people regardless of the nature of their sin. That's what Daniel did. Now, did it spare Daniel from persecution? No. He was thrown into the lion's den. And some of us may find ourselves in our own lion's den. But God was with him in the lion's den. And God delivered him, and it was a powerful testimony to the king. So if you're honoring God, whatever the consequences of your faithfulness to God, God is going to be with you in the midst of it, and he's going to use it as an opportunity to bring glory to his name. And then the kicker is that all of Daniel's accusers, Daniel was delivered, and all of his accusers were thrown into the lion's den. God will always be with those who are faithful to him, and he will always judge those who are opposed to him and to his people. You can count on it. God will not be mocked. Amen. Thirdly, Daniel teaches us that we need to make our faith visible. Make our faith visible. We must not hide our faith. And that's what the world is trying to make us do. You can believe anything you want to believe. Just believe it in private. Don't talk about it. Don't practice it. Don't live it out. Daniel could have changed his practice when the law said that it would be illegal to pray. Daniel could have said, well, you know, it's just 30 days. I'll just close my windows and I'll pray in secret and no one will know. But instead, he did what he had always done. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem, and he prayed as he had always prayed three times a day. The world wants us to hide our faith. The world wants to silence us while they proudly parade their sin on government platforms and TV stages and down the streets of our city. But we must refuse to be intimidated and pressured into hiding. We must stand in the boldness of the Spirit, and we must live out loud for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We must stand with the boldness of a lion in the face of lions. Daniel was accused, arrested, and thrown to the lions, but in all of that, he stood as bold as a lion in unwavering faith. Folks, it's going to get real, real fast for believers. How do I know it? Because we're living in the last days, and listen to what Jesus said is going to characterize the last days. Luke 21, verses 12 through 13 and 17 through 18. Jesus warned us that before the end comes, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. And everyone will hate you. Folks, if everybody loves you, if the world loves you, if the ungodly loves you, may just be a red flag. Amen. He says, everybody will hate you because you are my followers, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. What's the implication there? If we don't stand firm, we'll lose our soul. If we compromise, we'll lose our soul. If we give in to the pressure of this world, we'll lose our soul. But if we stand firm, we will win our soul. And of course, the persecution that Jesus described in this passage of Scripture, we already see it happening. But we've got to stand bold as lions by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in so doing, live our lives to be a testimony, even as Daniel's life was a testimony to the king, and through the king to the entire empire. Hugh Latimer, a minister, once preached before King Henry VIII. And Henry was greatly displeased by the boldness in the sermon and ordered Latimer to preach again on the following Sunday and apologize for the offense he had given. Somehow, whatever this preacher preached convicted King Henry VIII because it exposed some kind of sin that was in his life. I don't know what the sermon was, but he got offended by it. And he demanded that the next week he would preach and give an apology for what he had said. So the next Sunday, after reading the scripture text, the preacher began his sermon. He said, "Hugh Latimer, do you know before whom you are this day to speak?" So he's speaking to himself. He's addressing himself. He says, "Do you know before whom you are to speak today?" "To the high and mighty monarch, the king's most excellent majesty, the one who can take away your life if you offend. Therefore, be careful that you speak not a word that may displease. But then, consider well, Hugh, do you know from whom your life comes and with whose message you are sent? Even by the great and mighty God who is able to cast your soul into hell. Therefore, take care that you deliver your message faithfully." And what he was saying at the very beginning of his message is, "King, I'm not going to give in to your pressure. I am not going to compromise the truth of God's word because it offends you." In fact, the Bible tells us that many will be offended at the word of God, at the gospel. And so what did Hugh Latimer do? He then preached the very same sermon he had preached the preceding week, but with considerably more energy. So he was more passionate preaching the same message that offended the king. The righteous are bold as a lion, because when we are doing what God has called us to do, we know that it is right, and we know that God will be with us, so we will not fear what man may do to us. Let us pray that God will make us as bold as lions. How many of you want that boldness in your life? Amen. Would you stand to your feet and at home as well? And let's just pray. You pray to God. You speak to God and ask him by the power of the Holy Spirit to give you that kind of boldness. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God, and we thank you so much for the example of Daniel. We thank you for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us a supernatural boldness, Lord God. Father, we are praying tonight, Lord God, that you would embolden us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might not fear what men might say or do to us, Lord God, but that the boldness of the Holy Spirit will make us like lions, Lord God, who will not retreat, who will not give in, who will not back down, Lord God, but we will stand firm. We will stand, Lord God, in righteousness and in truth, and we will refuse to compromise. We will live out loud for Jesus and not be ashamed or afraid, Lord God. Father, we pray that for each and every one of us, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would give us that kind of boldness, Lord God, that we might bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful rest of your evening. Drive safely. We love you, New Life.